Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We move now into verses 13, 14, and 15 in James chapter 1. And we find that James is continuing to discuss the subject of testing or trials, a subject which he introduced in verse 2. The very first thing that he addressed after the customary greetings in verse 1. But now he shifts to the second meaning of the word temptation. As I think we've already discussed, the same Greek word used throughout this section can bear two different meanings. It can mean, on the one hand, a test or a trial, or it can mean, on the other hand, a solicitation to sin and to do evil. And it is used in the first sense in verses 2 through 12. Our testings, our trials, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations. But now, in verses 13 and following, it is used in the second sense, in the sense of a solicitation to sin. James gives us some of the most helpful information in all the Bible on the nature of God, the nature of man, the nature of sin, and the process that links temptation to the commission of sin. These verses explain what you need to know about sin and temptation, where sinful temptation comes from, and how and why it is effective. And there are three basic statements regarding sin, and we'll look at them after I read these verses, which says, "Let no one say, when he is tempted," there's that word, "when he is tempted," not in the sense of a trial or a testing or a difficult circumstance, but a solicitation to do evil, "let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So thank you for joining me on this Monday, January 16, and many thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us on the air. Well, what do we learn? First of all, that sinful temptation does not come from God. Sinful temptation does not come from God. Again, I read verse 12, or 13 rather, "Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God." Another translation says, "Never, when you are being put to the test, say, God is tempting me. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he does not put anybody to the test," that is, to solicit evil or sin from them. Now, the fact of the matter is that, and we all know this, that the human tendency is to shift blame, right? We love to do that. Our sin nature loves to do that. So, there's always somebody else to blame. If you steal, it's because of poverty. It's because someone owes you something, and even though this is not yours to take, it doesn't belong to you, and you cannot rightfully claim it, not righteously so. Nevertheless, it sort of evens the score. And so, for example, people will steal from an employer, because they feel like Maybe they ought to be getting paid a higher wage. And since I'm not getting paid as much as I think I ought to get paid, I'm justified in stealing tools from the job or office supplies from the office. And so it goes, so it goes. There's always an explanation, isn't there? It is my job and the pressures of my job that are to blame for my getting drunk. I don't blame myself. I'm not to blame. I'm not to blame for getting drunk. No, it's the pressures of my job. You see, I was walking down the street, and the pressures of my job reached out, pulled me into the tavern, plumped me down at the counter, put a beer in front of me, put it to my lips, and made me drink it, put a gun to my head and made me drink it, and repeated that several times, and that's why I got drunk. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Or the man who commits adultery wants to blame his inattentive wife. She's the reason. She's the reason why I committed adultery. It's not me. I'm not to blame. She's to blame. Because she hasn't been as loving and attentive as she ought to be. Or the reason I curse is because of my disobedient children. They're to blame. They make me do it. Or when I lose my temper, it's my Irish background, or my German background, I mean, whatever it can be, my Italian background. That's the reason. That's to blame for my temper. I'm not to blame. And on and on and on it goes. It's my friends that are to blame for my gambling. I wouldn't have done that except for them. Or it's my friends that are to blame for my taking drugs. I wouldn't have done that if it were not for them. And it goes on and on like that. And you see, ultimately, what we are doing is blaming God. Why so? Well, if we use poverty as our excuse for stealing, God's to blame for my being poor. He could have changed that. If job pressures are to blame for my getting drunk, well, God could have given me a different job, or God could have given me a different supervisor on the job, or God could have put me on a different shift, or God could have had me working with different people, or God could have prevented these pressures, and since he didn't do it, he's really to blame for my getting drunk, and on it goes. If I blame my inattentive wife for my adultery, well, God gave me this wife. He could have given me a better wife. And so it goes. Blaming God for everything. And that started, actually, in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of, said God? Well, the woman which you gave me, she took the fruit and gave to me, and I ate. That's the reason. And, of course, who gave me this woman? Well, you did, God. God made Eve and brought her to Adam, the most beautiful woman who ever lived on the face of the earth, the most perfect woman who ever lived on the face of the earth, for up until now she had never sinned. She was a perfect wife in every way, perfect in physical beauty, perfect in personality and temperament, and in her desire to be to her husband what God had created her to be, the perfect wife, but of course she's to blame. And we recognize that Eve, in partaking of the fruit and giving it to Adam, and encouraging him to eat, was certainly not perfect in that. She transgressed before Adam did, and she did encourage him to transgress, but you see, that's no excuse. Adam knew better. His wife is not to blame. He's to blame. But that's the way it is. When God turned to the woman, Adam pointed the finger at the woman, so God turned to the woman, and the woman said, what? Well, it's the serpent. It's the serpent's fault. I wouldn't have done this if it hadn't been for the serpent. And again, it's true that the serpent was involved. Satan, having entered into the serpent, was using the serpent as a vehicle of sinful temptation. But Eve knew better. She didn't have to fall prey to that serpent. And in her condition, up until this point, perfect in every way, she really had no reason to do so. But that didn't stop her from shifting blame. And so it goes. But this verse tells us, when we are tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Nobody should shift blame in such a way as to ultimately blame God. When you start blaming circumstances, when you start blaming other people, when you start blaming something outside of yourself that you indicate is outside your control, you are saying, of course, all of these things are under the control of God, so God is to blame. But when you are tempted, no one should say, God is to blame. Again, James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt any one. What the Bible is saying to us is no one, not a single person, can rightly make this claim. Well, that doesn't stop people from making it. People make it all the time. But no one can rightly make this claim. Let no one say when he is tempted, because no one can accurately, correctly, righteously make such a claim. Every time somebody makes a claim like this, it is a false claim. It is a sinful claim. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Let no one say it to others. Let no one say it to himself. Rationalizing to himself is wrong, because we don't always say these things to others. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we just say this in our heart. We say it to ourselves. We say it quietly. We say it silently. We say it only to God. But in any case, what we are doing is trying to escape personal responsibility. Here's what Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, said. Thou knowest, thou hast formed me with passions wild and strong, and listening to their witching voice has often led me wrong. What is he doing? Exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden, and exactly what most of us do in shifting blame. And exactly what this passage is telling us not to do. Let me read it again. Robert Burns, in a poem addressed to God, said, thou knowest, thou hast formed me with passions wild and strong, and listening to their witching voice has often led me wrong. So who's to blame for your sin, Robert Burns? God is, because God made me with these strong passions, these strong desires. So God is to blame. I'm not to blame. It's not my fault. You remember the old comedy, The Devil Made Me Do It? Who was it that said that? Somebody Wilson, as I recall. The devil made me do it. Well, that's what people have been saying for centuries, for millennium. Only most of the time, what they actually are saying is, God made me do it. Because, you see, even when Eve blamed the devil, the serpent, of course, who was she blaming? God. You made the serpent. You allowed the serpent to come. You allowed the devil to inhabit the serpent. You're to blame, God. I'm not to blame. You're to blame. So Adam is not to blame. God's to blame. Eve's not to blame. God's to blame. Nobody is to blame themselves. But God is always to blame for every sin, ultimately, unless we acknowledge that we are to blame and confess it. But most of the time, God gets blamed for our sin. That's wrong. Don't do that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.